Let's go ahead and remain standing. We're going to read the Lord's Word together. You know, I never like breaking up the party. You know what I mean? It's so good to come together. The message that I'm going to preach on today is Israel and prayer. And as I've been thinking on this and praying on this over the last month or so, this psalm really encapsulates where we are right now. And so we're just going to read it together. The words are going to come up on the screen there. I think it's always good to read the Lord's Word. Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Jesus Christ, we just declare this morning that you are King of Kings, that you went to the cross at Calvary and died for the sins of mankind, that you were laid in the tomb, that you were raised to life on the third day, and that you are the risen, resurrected Savior of the world. Lord, we declare this morning that you are enthroned, seated, ascended, and seated at the right hand of our Father in heaven. And we give you the glory this morning, Lord. You're absolutely sovereign. So, Holy Spirit, I just pray for your anointing just now. As I declare your word, and I pray you would open up the hearts and the minds of those in the congregation and listening online, that we'd be encouraged and challenged by the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. So, as we know, October the 7th, Hamas invaded Israel. And just to give you a little bit of a background on that, it was the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. So this was a major kind of religious festival. Let me put that in some kind of context for you. It would be like our Thanksgiving, although Thanksgiving isn't a religious festival. That sense, that atmosphere of family, coming together, having meals together, fellowshipping together. That's the time. So this attack from Hamas was absolutely orchestrated for when they were at their most relaxed. Okay? And not only that, but because it was a religious festival, you would have had pilgrims from all over the world, literally all over the world. So the attack, it was targeted, it wasn't just on the Jewish people. It was meant to be put on the world stage, and that was very much part of the mindset behind that, that they chose this specific time there. And Psalm 2 tells us that, doesn't it? It says, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? And we see that The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. And we see that very clearly, that the nations are conspiring, right? Very evident in that. And, you know, you've all seen the terrible atrocities that had happened, and some of the stuff that you've seen on social media. You know, when Hamas went in, it was very barbaric, very cruel, very evil. They slaughtered seniors. They raped and mutilated women, paraded them through the streets, disemboweled pregnant women, slaughtered children. And it was just horrible to think, wasn't it? And we know that as of the what happened on the 7th of October there, that there was more than 1,400 dead, not just Israelis, but from 36 different countries, and more than 240 hostages from those countries. And so this slide that you're going to see now, that comes up, and what it shows here is that all the nations that were involved. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, when you look at it, let's have a look. I'm not going to go through them all, but my own country's there. UK, 2 murdered, 12 missing. Sri Lanka, Italy, Hungary, Australia, Austria, China, Romania, and of course the United States of America. We know that some of our brothers and sisters were killed and are taken hostage, that they haven't been released yet. And so when you look at that, this is something that can trigger an international war. There's 36 nations involved here, you know, and that's a reality, isn't it? I mean, literally, there's right now, it's we don't know the exact number, but on account of that invasion, there's now somewhere close to about 10,000 people have been killed, and today there's people going to die on account of what happened. Palestinians and Jewish people, by the time I've finished preaching this sermon, will be dead. And so we kind of look at that, and we see that the kings of the earth and rise up. And as bad as it is, let me just say this morning, is God still in control? Absolutely, isn't he? You know, this attack might have taken Israel by surprise. And honestly, that was a surprise to me, because the Gaza border is probably one of the most, or supposed to be, one of the most watched borders on the earth, right? And yet, the attack was a surprise to Israel, kind of took them off guard, as it were. It wasn't a surprise to the Lord. Where is he right now? He's seated on the throne. He's risen and exalted. He's in absolute total control, and he's sovereign over the whole world. Amen? Amen. God is in control. Verse 4 and 5 of this psalm says this: the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath. You see, our God, Jesus Christ, is absolutely sovereign. And as we, as Christians, as we come here this morning, we have his word. And in his word, what it says in the Old Testament is it prophesies about the Messiah coming. And then it also tells us in the New Testament that he's going to come again. Right? So we know the plan already. In his graciousness, and then in his goodness to us, right, he's given us the plan. So we know that there's a time right now, and I've said this before from this pulpit, that there's a time in God's calendar when the Son of God is going to return. Amen? Is anything going to change that? No. It's going to happen. When God promises something in Scripture, it's going to happen. Let me just encourage you, brothers and sisters, this morning. The Lord God Almighty can use nations for His purposes. Look at Babylon in the Old Testament, how He used Babylon for His own purposes. God can use these events to culminate towards his plan at the end of time. And we know that our King of Kings is coming back. He's not coming back as a servant. No, He's coming back to rule and to reign on David's throne here on earth. Right? So, as I say that, I want to share this with you this morning. And I have peace. I'm at peace. I'm not afraid. I'm not. The enemy wants you to be afraid. The enemy wants you to think, hey, World War III's coming. You know, Lord, bring the rapture now. Okay, put your hand up if you want the rapture to come. Okay, all right, okay. It doesn't want you to be afraid. Okay, why? Because He loves you. The promise in Scripture is, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Has His love for you changed at all? On events of the war, on events of the invasion, has His mercy stopped pouring out on you daily? No, it hasn't. Have you stopped receiving His grace on a daily basis? His kindness, His goodness? Can anything change that in your life? Nothing. Nothing. He is absolutely constant. He is absolutely trustworthy. And He's absolutely dependable. Don't lose your focus. Don't lose your hope. Don't be afraid. Honestly, I'm like, man, what's the worst thing that could happen? Okay, somebody drops a bomb. I live next to a refinery. Okay, I'm going to die. Praise the Lord, right? I'm going to be with them forever and ever, right? Does that fact change? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter what's coming down the pipeline, pardon the pun. Right? But it doesn't matter what's coming down. My relationship with the Lord hasn't changed. He's in total control, and you can't be snatched out of His hands. You can't. Nothing can snatch you from His hands. Your salvation is secure for eternity. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Some of you need to hear that encouragement. We can watch too much news and we can be tremendously fearful. But hopefully I'm going to encourage the socks off you this morning. But, you know, He's in control. Revelation 1 verse 8, and it says this, Jesus' own words. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the Almighty, isn't He? If God is for us, who can be against us? The Lord God Almighty, sitting on the throne of heaven, is for you, and He considers you precious in His sight. Amen. I'm starting to get excited now, you know. I'm on fire for my King, right? Nothing has changed. Nothing. Jesus is enthroned at the Father's right hand in heaven. Philippians 2 and verse 9 to 11. And it says this, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is there any exception to that? No, every knee's going to bow. Every king is going to bow before Him. Every president, every prime minister is going to bow before the Lord God Almighty. When He comes again, He's not coming as a servant. After Armageddon, there's going to be peace. His kingdom is going to be a reign of peace. And every knee is going to bow before Him there. He's in absolute control. The nations are at his feet. And he's on your side this morning. And he loves you. And he cares for you. The Father God, we're going to have communion in a little while, but the Father God sent his Son to die for you. That's how important you are to him, to reconcile you back to him, that the Son of Man would die for our sins. You are special in his sight. You are his chosen possession. That's not going to change. Revelation 19, verse 15 to 16 says this, coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We see that in verse 6 to 9 of that psalm here. I love Psalm 2. I love the scriptures. They just totally describe and give us encouragement. Listen to this. Verse 6 to 9 just totally describes that. I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree, he said to me. You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled that prophecy in the Psalms right there. He has, hasn't he? And when he comes back, it's going to come into being. It's a reality. It's a promise that we have. Sometimes we can focus on the moment and get distracted. We need the bigger picture. And there's a responsibility in that for us as well. Because, you know, I'm so confident at the moment that the King of Kings is on the move right now around the world like never before. It is unbelievable. You know, as the director at the Light of the World Prayer Center, I get this. I've got an amazing job, by the way. It's so cool. I actually get paid for doing this. But I get to hear what's happening locally here in Whatcom County. Yesterday, I was speaking at the Seattle Mission Fest conference, and you get to hear what's going on kind of nationally, but I also get to hear what's going on internationally. Let me tell you right now that the Lion of Judah is roaring around the world, unprecedented. There is a spiritual awakening going on right now like never before. So don't get discouraged, Christian. Our Lord is marching. Do you know right now that there are millions of Muslims coming to faith in Christ? Jesus Christ, he's appearing to them in dreams. That they believe in Jesus, but they know him as the prophet. And they're appearing, Jesus is appearing to them in dreams. Here's this for an evangelistic tactic for you. And I know as somebody of a Christian, when they were in a refugee camp, because there's millions of people displaced around the world, and in this refugee camp, literally, they had this billboard, and on the billboard it says, "Have you seen the man in white?" That was it. That was it. How's that for an evangelistic strategy? Have you seen the man in white? The refugees would come up and go, "Oh yeah, I saw him last night in a dream. Who is he? Can you tell me about him?" That's happening. Do you know, I've probably shared this before. Do you know where the fastest growing church in the world is? Iran. Yeah. Do you know, you hear all this rhetoric coming out from the Ayatollah or whatever his name is right now, right? And yeah, under the surface of that, the fastest growing church in the world is Iran. Unbelievable. And here's this ladies, right? It's been run by women. I think the whole world's run by women, actually, you know. I really do. Take my wife away, I'd be a mess. I really would. And you know why it's been run by women? Because they locked all the men up. Straight up, there are more than 20,000 More than 20,000 people in prison in Iran right now, and yet the church is exploding, right? And these women, they are so fired up. I mean, their boldness is incredible. And the church, and they know what it means. Like, we're talking Iran here. You get found with a Bible in Iran, you'll lose your head, right? And yet they're not afraid because the king is moving. He's marching. He's revealed himself to them. And sometimes, you know, we're seeing him. And, you know, I heard of a testimony yesterday. And he appeared to this this Muslim woman in a dream. And it was kind of cool, actually. She was at the well. And she looked in the water. And the Lord, she saw this reflection of this man in white behind her. Right? She turned around. And he wasn't there, and she looked back, and there's the reflection in the water again. And she was terrified, and she runs home, and she was saying, okay, Jesus, if you're real, can you give me one more sign? And he did. And then she was still struggling with that, and her mother hadn't walked. And she goes, okay, Jesus, if you're real, command my mom to walk. And her mom gets out the wheelchair and walks. That's awesome, you know. He's so real right now. Okay, not just the Muslims. Oh, by the way, this one is hot off the desk, as they say. Okay, yesterday morning, I get this. I got this email. So we've got different partner ministries, and I got this email. Listen to this. Today, the Lord is talking about Gaza. Today, the Lord has done a huge miracle. Hundreds of Palestinian Arab young women, ages 16 to 18, have left their old way of life of jihad and are now being discipled into the kingdom. Did God die for Hamas? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. It's amazing what he's doing. You see, we're going to pray about this in a little time, but as we pray, it's so important to pray for the salvation of the Jewish people and the Palestinians as well. Because like I say, today some of them are going to die. And I want to tell you another story as well. This happened last week. And so before, if you imagine Gaza like this, right? But this is before that the border was fully sealed. And a lot of people were crossing in to join Hamas in the fight because they see it as a holy war, and there's people coming from different parts of the world, and there was believers inside Gaza, and they're reading the Word of God, and these two men come up and go, "What are you reading?" "Whoa, we're reading from the Bible, and it tells about Jesus as the Messiah. And by the way, you know, you need to surrender your life to him and follow him. Tell us a bit more. Read us a bit more from this book." At the end, do you know what happened? They took off their coats, these two men. They're suicide bombers. And they take off their vests and they place them on the ground. And they said, "From now on, we're following Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord." Right there in Gaza. You see, the Lord is at work just now. And you might think, well, you know, as in terms of Israel or the in terms of the Jews, you know, this is one of the organizations that we support. It's called One for Israel. By the way, if you haven't checked it out, you got to. It's really encouraging. OneForIsrael.org. And it's video testimonies of Jewish people who have had the scales removed from their eyes, and they believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And they have these video testimonies, and what they do is they promote them. So they've been on the go since 2013. Do you know how many gospel views in Israel? 53 million. In Israel. I'm not talking about the rest of the world. There's been 53 million views of these videos and testimonies. You see, what happened with COVID was quite extraordinary because it locked everybody up and everybody went on the internet, right? Everybody was like on there. In fact, you know, I did some work for Billy Graham, and we did this searchforjesus.net, and people would type in, is God real? And they would put them through to a website called Peace with God, where they could have a chat with somebody, and they would take them through the steps of salvation. Marvelous. Loved it. I spoke with people all over the world. It's great. You know, but people were during COVID and they were looking online. Billy Graham, they released this as of the late February 2022, peacewithgod.net and linked websites have allowed 100 million visitors to experience the gospel in English, Spanish, Portuguese, Korean, Chinese, and Arabic. That's 100 million opportunities for individuals of multiple languages to discover God's peace. Incredible what God has done through COVID time and through the internet. We all thought he was asleep, right? No, not at all, because the Lion of Judah is roaring. You see, that's where I get my confidence from. He's in total charge. He's got this plan with regards to the Jewish people there. If you do a Google search, and you go on the search engine and you type in something, okay? So, from Israel, nowhere else, right? The word Jesus gets searched in Google from Israel 6,000 times a month right now. It's incredible. This is Jesus, Yeshua. They're not even allowed to say his name. There are hidden believers in Orthodox Jews. Secret believers, the secret believers in Palestine right now. And put that in some kind of context there. The same in Israel on the same Google search. If you type in rabbi 2,000 times. So they type in Jesus 3 times more than the word rabbi. You know, there's a search and there's a hunger. You see, the thing is now, and with the Muslims coming to faith, I mean, it's literally unprecedented. FaithWire, June the 6th, 2023, says this. Missionary support, Muslims meeting Jesus in dreams, in levels we have never seen in 1,400 years. So imagine, right, this is what it's like, last 1,400 years of Muslims, right? And every now and again, there would be a blip like this, of Muslims coming to faith. The last 10, 20 years, it has gone off the scale. That's why I think we're in the end times. I really do. You see, because like Pastor Tom would share this as well, because this spiritual awakening that's going on around the world. Folks, I want to encourage you this morning. Don't bury your head in the sand. That's what the enemy wants you to do. You know, and I've spoken with Christians. Oh man, I'm just waiting for the rapture. Just, Lord, take me out of here. Take me out of this mess and violence or whatever. No, he's got a plan for you. He wants you to be part of this spiritual awakening. It's happening in America. It is. It is. I can tell you right now. You might have heard about Asbury. And Asbury, there was a college, a mini revival going on there. And what you probably don't know is that Asbury spread to more than 200 college campuses around our nation. And each one was marked with two things, tears of repentance and worship. That's incredible. Thank you, Father, for not passing over our next generation. And we're not just talking Christian campuses here. There was a campus down in Oklahoma recently, and they had a student meeting there. 60,000 students turned up. It's not hard to talk about the gospel at the moment because the world is so desperate out there and they're hurting so much. And you offer to pray with somebody, it's really not hard because people are hungry. And here's the thing. Here's the challenge. This spiritual awakening is going to happen with or without you. Do you want to get involved or do you want to spectate? I believe the Lord is asking you to get involved. You've got every reason. He even tells us, you know, not to be afraid. We see these terrible things that Hamas has done, but, you know, he tells us about it. Matthew 24, verse 26, he warns us ahead of time, and he says this, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." Is the end going to come? It is. Do you know, we're to expect the wars, not be taken by surprise by them. Wars are going to happen. I come from a military family. My father, World War I. Oh my goodness. He was in the trenches. Unbelievable. Loss of casualty there. He was in the Day of the Somme. If anybody here knows their military history, just unbelievable the amount of loss that went on there. He survived that. My father, World War II, got bombs dropped in his street. Thought it was very exciting, you know. And literally got so close to the bomb one time that it actually sucked his cap off. I'm like, yeah, Dad, you're probably a bit too close for that. He had a jolly old time. You know, he got drafted at the age of 18. He was a band musician, and he literally went on a worldwide tour and entertained the troops. He was safer when he went to war than he was if he'd stayed at home. Had a great time, you know. But coming back to this, right, we know it's going to happen. I'm not one to say this isn't serious. It is serious. World War III could kick off. Absolutely, you know, with 36 nations, there's a lot of trigger-happy people out there. But we're not to be fearful. No, we're to be engaged. Our trust is in him. Folks, he isn't going to fall off the throne. You know, I remember preaching here about Queen Elizabeth, the longest reigning monarch in British history. Right, second longest reigning monarch ever. And it was, what was it? I think it was King Louis the 14th or something like that. But he doesn't really count because he was on the throne at the age of 4. Typical French, you know what I mean? Putting a king on the age of 4, what's that about? You know. Anyway, she was the longest reigning, and I loved her. She was a very godly Christian woman, but she's dead now. No, our King of Kings is alive, and he's staying as King of Kings. No one's going to knock him off the throne. He's asking us to get engaged. Come alongside me. Partner with me. We must acknowledge Jesus as King and as Christ. As we know, one day every knee is going to bow before him. And all kings and leaders will kneel before him. And blessed are all who take refuge in him. You see, I'm blessed this morning. I'm at peace. I know my refuge is in him who loves me. Bill, I love you. I am yours, Lord, and you are mine. That fact isn't going to change, is it? That's how he feels about you this morning. He loves you. I am yours and you are mine. Yeah, we don't need to be afraid. The enemy wants that. He wants to paralyze you. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. What could possibly happen to you that will change your relationship with the Lord? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. And that leads me on to this, and just as we kind of finish up on this, I've got a couple of really important prayer points for you with regards to Israel. But Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7 says this, and this should really be our attitude, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do you get that sense that he's near? I don't know. I just feel this sense of anticipation. And I see what he's doing. And it's marvelous. But there's that anticipation that he's near. You know, I'm not being dramatic. I just get that sense, you know. It's like, how long have we got? Is it tonight? Is it next week? Is it a few years? I don't know. But I get that sense that he's near. just the way things are going. Anyway, I will say it again. Rejoice, you gentlest. Be even to all. The Lord is near. And listen to what he says here. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, even with the war in Hamas, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, are you at peace this morning? You can have it. He promises it. My peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. You can have his peace. I'm at peace. I know what's going to happen. I don't really care. I'm at peace. You can have that peace. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to be active. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Do you feel that blessing of his peace this morning? The Son of Man died for you, shed his blood for you, gave everything for you. You can have his peace. We don't have to be afraid of what's coming down the pipeline. Okay. As we prepare to go into communion, there's a couple of prayer points here, and they are really essential right now, okay? And they're important because the prayers of the saints are going to make a difference in this time. And I'm really serious about this. There was a revival called the Welsh Revival, and it was in the early 1900s. Huge outpouring of the Spirit of God. Thousands of people came to faith, spread around the world. It went to America. But do you know what stopped that revival? World War I. That's the enemy's plan right there. Stopped the worldwide revival. Stopped the spread of the gospel, evangelization, everything. World War I. Killed it. This could trigger it. This what happened. U.S. is involved. We already know that there's two aircraft carriers there. And every aircraft carrier has a fleet of ships goes with it. Russia could get involved. Other nations could get involved, especially when there's 36. Okay, it's got the potential to kick off. So what we sense is the enemy's plan, that he wants to stop the worldwide spread of the gospel. Okay. Pray that this will be contained. Pray that it'll be contained. That it won't go on to the world stage. That's a huge prayer point right now. Really encourage you to pray that prayer. Pray that it'll get contained. Because right now, this spiritual awakening, the harvest that's coming in is unbelievable. Literally. In the Western church, we don't even know how many millions are coming to faith. We're talking about closed countries here. What God is doing, right? The war, if it comes, could stop that. Pray that it gets contained. That's the first prayer point. Second one is this. As I mentioned, even as I'm preaching, there's people dying now. So pray for the Jews on the front line. Pray for the Palestinians, even in this late hour. Perhaps the Lord may reveal himself to them in an image, in a vision, in a dream. Speak to them through scripture. Pray for salvations right now. This is an urgent gospel message, that the blindness would be taken away from both Hamas and the Jews as well, that they would know Jesus Christ as Messiah, because the alternative is unthinkable. The day there's going to be people in an eternal separation from him right now. Remember, the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul who was killing his own Christians. So if you can do that, the Apostle Paul, can you imagine the testimony of somebody in Hamas getting converted? The Lord can do it. Pray for those salvations. Third point. There are a lot of trigger-happy people around the world, okay? We need to pray for wisdom for the leaders. Godly wisdom. President Biden, pray for Putin. Pray for these leaders. It's so important, right? Your prayers are absolutely vital in those three areas right now. There's more, but I don't have time to go into them. And if you're interested, I can give you some more prayer points. Come on Monday night. We pray through some of this stuff. Monday night, 7 o'clock at our prayer time. But those prayers right now, they are absolutely crucial. That's where it's at right now. Okay. I want to move into communion. And, you know, as I read Psalm 2 here, and I read this verse, knowing that this is going to be Communion Sunday. Verse 12, and it says this, kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. And it suddenly struck me that his anger and his wrath has been removed from us on account of what Jesus did on the cross. We don't have to suffer his wrath for the penalty of our sin. You see, he has removed his wrath. God says the penalty for sin, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. I want to share with you that very occasionally the Lord will give me a dream or a picture. Doesn't happen very often, but he gave me this dream last week, and it was Christ, and he was at the foot of the cross, but it was before he'd had any of the flogging or anything like that, right? And in this dream, this Christ figure was screaming. And it was an agonizing scream. And I remember thinking in the dream that I wanted this person to stop screaming. And it didn't stop. And it just got louder and louder and louder. And I actually woke up from the dream. And I was crying because I just got this sense of the suffering of what he did for me when he went to the cross, and that agony and the suffering that he went through. You see, I get it for free and we get it for free, but it cost him immensely. It says in Luke here, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The suffering was unbelievable. He knew what he was about to go through. And I think in that dream, the Lord was reminding me of the agony that he went through. And he did it for us, brothers and sisters, this morning. It was huge. It cost the Son of God. You see, that cup that he's talking about there was a cup of God's wrath for our sin. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus, you have to pay it. And he's crying out to his Father there in agony. Let me ask you something. Where was the mercy for Christ? There was none. Where was the grace on him? Non-existent. No, he took the full cup of suffering. And he drank it to the dregs for your sake and for mine.
the pain was immense of what he went through, and he did it because he loved you, and so the Father could reconcile you back to himself. Let's not trivialize it. What he went through for us to set us free, incredible, incredible. So as we focus on communion just now, I'm going to ask the brothers to come in, and if anybody didn't get a cup when they come in, just raise your hand and they'll give you one. And just while they're doing that, you know, maybe something that you've heard this morning and that you haven't put your faith in Christ, that wrath still lies on you. That wrath has not been taken off of you. You are still under that punishment for your sin. John 3 very clearly says that in 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The only way to have that wrath removed is if you repent and confess of your sin and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I want you to know here this morning, there's people in this room, I just get a sense, the Spirit is saying that right now, that you haven't put your faith in Christ. I want you to know this, that he dearly loves you. He loves you so much that he went to the cross and paid that penalty for you, that immense suffering for you. It's for you because he loves you. You need to hear that this morning. And for some here this morning, you know, I just really pray and I encourage you to put your trust and your faith in him, because it's only the blood of Christ that's going to save you. When you stand before the Father, what are you going to stand on? Your own account. The Father, look, when you confess your sins and you ask Jesus Christ as your Lord, when he looks at you, he no longer sees the sin. He just sees the blood paid price of his Son, Jesus Christ. And you're set free, you're forgiven of your sin, and you are saved eternally. And you can know the peace of Christ this morning. I'd encourage you to do that. Let's pray.